Ricky, the American Diamond. A new column titled Dollar Evaluation has been added to your prospect summary sheet. Your dollar evaluation should be the highest figure you would go to sign a player if he were on the open market. The figure would be based solely on the player's ability. Other factors, such as what the player is asking for or what you think you can sign him for, would not be considered when determining a dollar evaluation. It is likely you would sign the player at a smaller figure. Boiled down, it is the dollar sign on the muscle and no more. Philadelphia Phillies Scouting Manual, 1981. Preface. The employee pledges to maintain the confidentiality of all scouting information which he acquires hereunder, and to preserve such information for the exclusive benefit of the club. Disclosure by the employee of any such information to any unauthorized organization or personnel will, in addition to providing grounds for termination of this contract, subject the employee to disciplinary action. Clause 3B, Uniform Scouts Contract, National League. Baseball scouts take Clause 3B very seriously, but they also recognize the fleeting value of their secrets. Any fragment of inside baseball information has a short shelf life, after which it's old news and thus potential material for a story, and baseball scouts like to talk. The job is lonely, and the essence of it is to have opinions, so that most scouts are ready to give frank answers to good questions, and then to keep on going, to follow the curve of an idea from one perception of talent to another, in language shaped by a lifetime of baseball metaphors. Like cab drivers or barbers, baseball scouts often do their best work while providing a running commentary on it. In editing some of these commentaries, I have tried to convey rhythms, pronunciations, and usages that make each voice distinctive. Six of the following chapters, the profiles of veteran scouts, include long passages that eliminate my own questions and responses, condensing the interviewee's remarks into an extended statement. Sometimes the material is drawn from more than one interview, and often it has been transposed. A scout's concluding comment, for example, might really be a transcription of something he said early in a discussion, but at no point have I distorted what my notes and tape recordings actually contain. The other chapters try to describe the shape of a scouting year. Spring training, spring scouting, cross-checking, the June draft, the center of the season, a tryout camp, an amateur tournament, pro scouting in September, and the autumn season that continues even after the major league season ends. The scouting year I followed was 1981, when a strike tore a hole in the major league season, when ownership in baseball shifted dramatically from families and toward syndicates, and when most teams made new commitments to scouting as a basis of success in the 1980s. But it might have been any year. The scouts kept reminding me of the timelessness of baseball dreams. In the period between my initial research and the first publication of the book, several of the young players evaluated in 1981 matured into major leaguers. Others were still struggling through the thickets of the minors, and some were no longer in professional baseball because they were injured or because they didn't take their talent as seriously as the scouts did, or because that talent didn't develop quickly enough to match the accelerated pace of modern minor league systems, or because they were scouts' mistakes in the first place. In an epilogue, I've included updates on many of these players and on several scouts. This book is based on interviews with scouts from 15 major league organizations. All of these generous men were patient even with my dullest questions, but three of them, Brandy Davis, Jack Pastore, and Jim McLaughlin, became invaluable resources by checking facts, arranging interviews with other scouts, and offering exceptionally candid advice. Most often their opinions conflicted, but even this was an advantage. Some of the views I express in this book are really triangulations of theirs. To gain perspective on one scouting system, I worked closely with the Philadelphia Phillies, demonstrably one of baseball's best talent organizations in 1981. Although the Phillies' style of scouting was more secretive than most, I had access even to the most recent scouting reports and to the frank discussions preceding the June draft. I am especially grateful to the Carpenter family, the Phillies' former owners, for opening those doors. No one has ever written a history of baseball scouting. My own brief survey in Chapter 1 owes much to the help of historians like Clifford Kackline, former librarian at the Hall of Fame, Paul McFarlane, archivist at the Sporting News, and David Voigt, professor of sociology at Albright College and a noted baseball historian. It also draws heavily on oral history, especially the recollections of Kenny Blackburn, Branch Rickey's former secretary, Hugh Alexander and Ed Catalinas, who began scouting before World War II, and Paul Florence, who was signed to a New York Giants contract